In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and good afternoon, everyone. This is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you today again. The purpose of this show is to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and with the Catholic faith by doing one thing well, speaking the truth of the faith in love. And we all know that truth is not a philosophical construct or an idea that we form in our minds. Truth is a person, the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is, as he says in John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, our Lord says, but by me. And that's what we're all about. And feeling pretty good today. Today's Thursday. And so for those of you who don't know, for the past couple years, I've been doing these reflections. Can't call them homilies, but reflections for the United States Conference Catholics of Bishops, the USCCB. And I've been doing them every other Thursday. So if you go to their website and look at the readings for the day, you click on it, it has the readings for the Mass, but then it has a homily, a video homily reflection. And I've been doing those for the past 2 years. Well, today is my day, right? So if you go to the site, and they also, people say, well, I've seen you on Laudate app or through Bishop Barron, because I guess they pick up the USCCB feed and put it on their platforms. And so I didn't realize how many people actually watched that thing until I started picking up my travel again, and people said they've been seeing it on there. So my video reflection is on there for today. And also got up early this morning, it's still dark outside, to do an interview with Guadalupe Radio on Marian Joy. You know, Guadalupe Radio is an EWTN Catholic Radio affiliate, which is why I did it. They're also strongly promoting the show, Beacon of Truth. And so I always want to help our radio affiliates out. So I was happy to get up at oh dark 30 and do that interview this morning. And I have another interview tomorrow with Iowa Catholic Radio. And I'm also doing Catholic Answers Live tomorrow as well. At the 4 o'clock, so the second hour, the 4 o'clock hour. Busy but good, because doing the Lord's work here, you know, which I'm absolutely thrilled to do. And I also love meeting all of you in person, the EWTN family. So if you want to see where I'm going to be, just go to deaconharold.com and click on schedule in the page header. And take a look at where I'm going to be. I'd love to see you in person. And my website's about to get a refresh in the next few days or so. I'm doing final walkthrough through the website, through each page, to make sure it's what I want. And once we do, it's just going to be a nice little refresh to the website. It's been kind of the same for a while now. Just going to refresh that a little bit. All right. So today, on Beacon of Truth, we're talking about the sound of silence. The sound of silence. Because we don't get enough, I believe, we don't get enough silence, enough quiet time in our lives. And in some ways, we're afraid of silence. We're afraid of being alone with our own thoughts. We're afraid of what God has to say to us in that silence. You know, and we're even afraid of silence at Mass. You know, we kind of rush through things. We don't take time for spaces of quiet and silence to allow God to speak to us, in especially in the first part of Mass, the Liturgy of the Word, in and through those readings. We just take time to let God's Word marinate in our hearts as He's speaking to us, and as the priest or deacon is breaking open the Word of God for us in the homily. You know, and feeding us in preparation of being fed again, body, blood, soul, divinity, and Eucharist. And so, you know, we want to hear from you. How do you embrace silence? How do you find time for silence so you can listen to God? Psalm 46, verse 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God. And the word they're used for knowing is yada. That means knowledge that is gained by experience. So it's be still and experience God in the stillness, in the silence, and in the quiet. It's not something we should be afraid of. It's something that we should embrace. I know myself personally, I love being by myself. I love being alone. I love being in silence. You know, so when I was on my deacon's retreat a few weeks ago, I loved that time just being, well, praying, get up in early in the morning, praying with the monks, and just like after the office, just sitting there in the church and just embracing the silence and listening to God's voice and praying the rosary and just that alone time, which I get so little of in the work that I'm doing now. So I just love that time to just in that space to listen to God's voice. So we'd love to hear from you today. Talk about how you find space and time for silence. What does silence mean to you? How do you find and listen to God's beautiful voice speaking to us in and through silence? Phone number to call to be with us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can email us, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for response. Then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And one of the reasons I love doing this show, because we work together as a team. We have a great group of folks behind the scenes making things happen. We have Matt Gabinski screening calls and Charles Beery doing social media. And the producer that has really captured my imagination and really it makes it joy for me to do this show every day, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today, brother?
I'm good. If I'm using the same kind of crayons you're using, that says a lot about me. So it's I'll take that as a compliment, though. On topic, though, one of the things, and this is falls right in line with the whole silence and finding peace, my wife and I have this phrase where we say, what does current me need to do right now that my future self will thank me for? Now, future self might be tonight. It might be in the morning. It might be at the end of the week. Like, what are the tasks that either I can do now? It could be something as simple as, you know, coffee prep or take a shower or, you know, make my lunch for the next day. You know, the little things so that the tempo of the day. I think you and I have talked about this off air about the don't go chasing waterfalls, that doom, doom, gang, that tempo, like that's life's tempo for us. And so we want to do whatever present me needs to do so that future me will thank me and go, hey, thanks for looking out for me a week from now or tomorrow morning. So something to kind of help us in our moments of silence to just go, all right, Lord, speak. Tell me what I should be doing right now.
Well, why do you think some people are afraid of silence, though? You know, I mean,
it's
awkward.
It is awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember as a kid not being able. This is before I started staying in the monastery. So when I was a freshman in high school at St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, you know, it was run by Newark Abbey, and they had a come and see program, and I started living with the monks. And that's when I really started to embrace silence.
Yeah.
Before that, I would always have to fall asleep listening to the radio.
Same.
And back then it was, you know, it was FM radio and it was the New York stations and stuff and listening to music as I was falling asleep. But then when I started staying in the monastery and through my 4 years of high school living in and out of the monastery, I came to really love and embrace silence. Because in that silence, I learned how to listen to God's voice speaking to me.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's just like when you do anything new. It's a little bit awkward. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But then when you start to be comfortable being in God's presence, and that's why I started to embrace adoration, really, honestly, for the first time, was during those 4 years of high school. And it was transformative.
Sure.
For me, you know?
Well, and I mean, and you've had those moments with monastery to be able to train yourself as someone who's always listening to music, either for pleasure or for worship prep or, you know, cooking in the kitchen or whatever it is, the silence is hard. So even when I have my moments where I'm in, you know, communication and trying to listen to God, it's like, I love that I'm in a place with him that I can discern his voice from my own agenda, because then I know what is what. But in that, I love from the perspective of that music can still be underneath, you know, kind of like our bumper beds. It can kind of bring me in to a good headspace, and then it just plays softly underneath no matter what song it is, because, again, I still have not matured enough to the point where silence is okay with me.
Yeah. I hear you.
I'll get
good.
There, maybe.
Yeah.
I make no guarantees, but we'll see what happens.
All right. We're talking about the sound of silence today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. How do you embrace silence in your life? How do you listen to God's voice in the midst of silence? 833-288-3986. Like that. Nice.
Come on, hand job with me.
Yeah. Nice little rhythm there. Nice little flow.
That's the other part that where silence doesn't work well for me as we talk about this topic today, because I can be in a moment of silence and a song will pop in my head, and then I either want to go listen to it or it's a song I don't like and then I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm better off to just play music in my moments all the time.
All right. Yeah. See, this is all about, sometimes we have to face those distractions in silence. And Saint Teresa of Lisieux, that was something that she writes about, how she was often, thoughts would fill her head during adoration in times of silence. And yeah, but again, I think the more you embrace silence, the more that goes away.
Sure.
You know, as you be more comfortable.
It's fair.
All right. Well, we're talking about the sound of silence today on Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're going to talk today about the power of silence, how in that silence we listen to God's voice and allow that voice to change our lives. We'd love to hear from you today on how you embrace silence, whether it's in adoration. How do you find time for silence? How do you make space? Like, remember, you're a mom busy with your kids, and you have to find time not just to sleep, because I remember that with my wife, finding time just to get some rest, but finding time just for silence so you can embrace and listen to God's voice. That's what we're talking about today. The phone number to call to be with us is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can email us, beacon@ewtn.com. And this show is brought to you by some amazing people working behind the scenes, including my main man, Ace McKay.
The one fighting the silence the most. It shows as much for me today as anyone. We do want to remind you, when you stream EWTN Radio, if you're looking for a great place to find us, you might already have the Radio FM app. All you have to do is now just search EWTN, and it pops right up. Podcast as well as a live stream. So anytime you want to check that out, just search EWTN today.
All right, well, when you hear that music, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And we're looking at Psalm 28 today. And I'm going to tell you right from the start, this is one of my favorite of the 150 Psalms. I love praying this Psalm when it comes up in the Liturgy of the Hours in the office, in the Divine Office. So grab your Bibles, Psalm 28 today on Beacon of Truth. We're using the Revised Grail Psalms, prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey, and this is the translation of the Psalms that's going to be incorporated into the Mass. And remember, this segment is now its own podcast. That's right. You can go to EWTN Podcast Central or to, you know, iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud or whatever your favorite podcast platform is, and you can listen to just the soulful Psalms as its own podcast. All right. So Psalm 28, of course, you know by now, you've been listening to the show. It's in book one of the Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41. All of those Psalms attributed to David. So the prescript of the Psalm is very simple. Very first line of verse 1, of David. Just that simple, of David. Then he starts, "To you, O Lord, I call. my rock, be not deaf to me. I shall go down to those in the pit if you are silent to me. Wow, I love that. So obviously the first line, he's calling out to God. Be not deaf to me. Lord, do not close your ears to my plea. I'm calling out to you with all of my heart right now. I'm giving you my very self. Lord, listen to me. I should go down to the pit. I'm going to proclaim your praise to even those who are away from you if you are silent to me. You know, he just can't keep that to himself. He has to express his love for God. You know, and even if it seems like God's not listening, he's going to preach to whoever is going to listen. So he can, that call out to the Lord is heard and respected. I love that. Then verse 2, hear the voice of my pleading as I call to you for help, as I raise my hands toward your holy place. So the raising of hands, there's like an offering, right? So it's very reminiscent of Psalm. Was it Psalm 142 or 143? Let my prayer rise before you like incense, the raising of my hands like an evening oblation. You know, so that this idea of offering, of giving ourselves over to God, as an offering of our lives, you know, beautiful. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak words of peace to their neighbors, but with malice in their hearts. All right. So he's crying out to the Lord. He's trying to unite his life and his will with God's will so that he's not tempted to do things in his life that turns him away from God. Right. Do not drag me away with the wicked, those who do evil. So he's saying those who don't cry out to you, those who don't try to listen for your voice in their lives, get caught up in the ways of the world, you know, and they become what he called double-tongued, right? Oh, yeah, they speak of peace to their neighbors, but it's just words coming out of their mouth. Their hearts are completely someplace else. So, you know, it's like ear candy, right? Oh, here's what you want to hear, but really their hearts have a whole different agenda. And how should we respond to those folks? Well, verse 4, David says to the Lord, repay them according to their deeds, according to the evil of their actions. Why? The things we do in our lives have eternal repercussions. You know, this is why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. The Lord understands that we are human beings and that we're going to make mistakes, sometimes really big, scary, messy mistakes. And that he's given us an opportunity to come back into his love. But if we continue on this path away from God, God's going to respect our decision to say no to him. And the end of verse 4, according to their handiwork, repay them, return to them their deserts. So Lord, just as we are good, you reward us, you know, let the people who will turn their hearts away from you, you know, let them see that they're going to see the fault of their acts. They're going to see that their decisions have implications in their own lives.
Well, and also this psalm is a great reminder that we have to also give grace to ourselves. Like we tell others, oh, God will give you grace and he will forgive you and he will help you through. And then we forget that he's given it to us. And a lot of times, at least I know for myself, when I don't feel like he's forgiven me, it's because I haven't forgiven myself. I'm still holding on to whatever the worst thing was that I ever did, and I let it manifest itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the psalm, now this part of the psalm, you know, so we talked about before imprecatory psalms, or what they call cursing psalms, right? So Psalms 58, 83, and 109 are not even included in the Liturgy of the Hours. Of course, they're included in 150 psalms, but in the church's Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, those are not included because of the viciousness of the nature. But I agree with St. Augustine. If you look at these psalms allegorically as Christ conquering sin, then there's no problem with them. You know, but there's also other psalms where parts of the psalm are not included because of the nature of the almost the viciousness of it. So Psalm 110, for example, and this these next two verses of the Psalm are typically not included in the Psalter, so or in the Liturgy of the Hours. So verse 5, for they ignore the deeds of the Lord and the work of their hands. So he's still talking about the people who made the decision to turn away from God. And now he says, may he ruin them and never rebuild them. That's not so bad. You know, why did they want to include that? Oh, may he ruin them, never rebuild them. Again, David is saying to the Lord, look, let them see the result of their actions. And maybe if they see that the fruit of their lives are not yielding the kind of fruit that they expect, then Lord, maybe use the result of their own actions to show them the right path back toward you, right? And because he ends of verse 6 here, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my appeal. Right, so yeah, those who want to turn away from the God from the Lord, they're going to see the results of their own actions and decisions. But for me, David says, I'm going to be blessed because I know the Lord will hear me when I cry out to him from the depths of my heart, so that my words that are coming out of my mouth are matching the intent of my heart. Right, so my heart and my mind are in complete unison in its crying out to God in prayer. Now, the last few verses here, I love these. I mean, these verses like this where sometimes I just stop. You talk about silence. Sometimes I just stop and I just rest in the word because it's hitting me so hard right now. It's just, it's doing something to my soul. I need time to just rest in the Lord. And that's why silence is important. So verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. I was helped. My heart rejoices. And I praise him with my song. Right? So he recognized that, you know what? Lord has heard my prayer. You know, and in that connection with God, I recognize him as my strength, my shield, the one in whom I trust. My heart rejoices. I praise him with what? My song. Not just, well, David wrote this psalm, and he probably wrote the music to it, because it's not ascribed to one of the members of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. He probably wrote this song, the music to this psalm himself. So he's praising with this song. But what does that mean for all of us, especially for those people who can't sing? What is the song then? It's the song of your life. It's the witness of your life. It's the example of your life. It's living out what Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, the two greatest commandments. When we do that, we are praising the Lord with the song of our lives. And then the last couple of verses, the Lord is the strength of his people, a saving refuge for his anointed. See, David's the king. And what is the main job of a king? To serve, to give his life. So he's recognizing that when he prays, he's not just praying for himself, he's praying for his people. Because if he wants his people to be close to God, he has to show them the example himself as the king. So he's praying for his people and as an example and witness to his people to follow his lead as he gives honor, praise, and glory to Almighty God. And then the last line, verse 9. Save your people and bless your heritage. Shepherd them and carry them forever. Again, David is not just thinking about himself. He's thinking about the people that he is called to rule and called to serve. And he look at the language he uses, the shepherd. Why? Because he was a shepherd himself. And he recognizes that God, Almighty God, is a shepherd over all his people. All right, we're talking about embracing silence, the sound of silence today. On Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986.
Do you ever have a song when you're listening and then you don't realize you're humming it out loud, and everyone else is like, "Will you hum to yourself?"
Yeah. Well, I love that, how music does that to you. You know, it just gets you going. I love that.
We're in a house where everybody has their own earbuds. So at any given moment, like especially with my wife, who's typically not the music person in the mornings, if she needs someone's attention, she has to go all the way down the hall, knock on the door of the bathroom or the bedroom and go, "Come here, I need you."
Yeah. Like,
I was in my moment.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know, I love that, you know, Ace and I have been talking offline, and we're going to have some themed week of shows coming up. You know, down the road here on Beacon of Truth, we're going to have a marriage week. We're going to take each day, 5 days of the show, and talk about different aspects of marriage. We're also going to have a music week.
Da-da-da.
We're going to talk about music. And who knows? I may even have to figure out a way to get my guitar up here.
We'll make it work.
and play a little bit. Even if I just leave the effects pedals and just get the amp and my guitar up here and figure out how to get this on camera and stuff, we could do a little playing. That'd be fun.
For all the knowledge that you've had of playing, now you can take it and make a spiritual connection and then analyze, and then everybody go, "Oh!
Ah, see, there you go." There
so all the go. Guitar players that are birthed from that day forward, we go, "Well, there was a spiritual connection."
There you go. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, today we're talking about the sound of silence. You know, Jesus tells the apostles, let's get away from a while by ourselves, you know, so they could be alone with God. What does that look like for you in your daily life? Because we all have to find time for silence. It's in that silence where we listen to the voice of God and block out all the other distractions of the world. We listen to the voice of God and allow that voice to change our lives. What does that look like for you in the business of your life? Maybe it's in the car where you make a choice not to listen to music or to talk radio, and you're just listening in the 15, 20 minutes in the car. Maybe you're a busy mom at home, and when the kids are finally down, you know, that's your time for silence and that's your time for prayer. What does that look like for you? How do you embrace silence? How do you listen to God's voice in that silence? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. The phone number for you to call to be with us is 833-288-3986. We'd love to hear from you today on the sound of silence, 833-288-3986. And this show is brought to you by some great people working behind the scenes. Matt Gabinski screening calls, Charles Berry doing social media, and the man behind the music, Ace McKay.
Well, we're excited. As Sunday being Pentecost Sunday, we get a chance to celebrate that with the Solemn Mass of Pentecost going on as a part of EWTN's lineup. So whether you're on EWTN television or Radio Essentials, from the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, we'll be starting that at noon Eastern on EWTN.
All right. We're talking about the sound of silence today, the power of silence working in your life. What does it look like for you? How do you find time for silence to listen to God's voice in your life in the midst of the business of everything going on around you? I think it is absolutely and essentially important that we embrace that silence. Fish Tank Shark. These interesting names for people on YouTube here. Fish Tank Shark. Has a quote actually from St. Teresa Benedicta, also known as Edith Stein. He says, a quote from her here says, quote, "For those blessed souls who have entered the unity of life with God, everything is one, rest and activity, looking and acting, silence and speaking." Quote from Edith Stein. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Fish Tank Shark. We'd love to hear from you on how you embrace silence in your life, in the midst of your business of your day. How do you find time to contemplate and reflect on the power of God working in your life? 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Julia has done, calling from my neighbor up in Washington State, listening on the EWTN app. Julia, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Go, brother. You are just preaching. I love listening to you guys. You are so full of life and light and happiness and joy. And it's like, you honestly, just listening fills my soul. So thank you. Thank you, Deacon Harold.
Oh, God bless you, Julia. Thank you for listening. and for supporting EWTN.
Always. Hey, so the reason I called is because you said about what do we do for silence. I'm a Catholic homeschooling mother of six children. The closest are 13 and a half months apart. So, it was pretty crazy. But now my youngest is 17. So I kind of, when they were, So when my youngest, when my kids were younger, what I would do is sometimes I'd fold the laundry because if they came in there, they would have to help me fold. And they'd be like, no, don't bug mom. You know, we don't want to have to fold. So that was a good one. And then another one was going every night. We'd go to daily mass, you know, so that was nice. They'd learn to be quiet. But every night I would go for a walk. I call it my walk and talk with God. When they were littler, I would put them in the stroller if my husband wasn't able to watch them. Or, and they were quiet, you know, they loved being outside. And I pray rosary every night. I still do that today. It's almost 20, 30 years later, I still do that. And it doesn't take long, but after I pray, I listen. I listen because, you know, the priests tell us, do we ever just sit and listen? So I say my piece and then I listen. And now that the children are older, God has called me to go to see him at the church every day. We don't have daily mass anymore, but he's like, no, just come and see me anyways. So I do that. Again, I do my prayers. I do everything. But then I take the time to listen. What is God telling me now? And a lot of times he'll tell me, I'll say, God, my yoke is, you know, heavy. You said it's light. And he's like, well, are those your desires or my desires? Mm. And I'm like, ah, okay. Whose will am I really trying to serve here, you know? So he gives me little things like tidbits like that and just gives me so much grace, you know, living in the moment. When my kids were little, they'd be like tugging on me. I just sit down and I'd let them all crawl on me. And they would, within 2 minutes, I tell you not, they would be bored of me and they would just get off me and do their own thing. So, I mean, all these little things that if we just take that time and just let God work instead of, no, my will, I have to get this done. No, live in that moment and just be open to whatever God is calling you to do in that moment. And that's my tidbit.
Man, Julia, my heart is beating like 100 miles an hour right now. I loved your call. And I mean, first of all, you showed us so beautifully how it's possible, even in the business with six kids. Now, my wife and I didn't have six kids, but we did have kids, four-year-old, a 2-year-old, and newborn twins. So I feel you when your kids were younger. But even then, the creative ways in which you found to find that silence so you can not just pray, but the key thing that I absolutely loved about what you said, you took time to listen. And that's the key for the silence. Because remember, and Julia brought this out so beautifully, it's a conversation with God. We're in a relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving community. It's a conversation. So a conversation is not one person speaking and the other person listening. It's you speaking and the person listens and then speaks back while you listen. So what Julia articulated so beautifully and so powerfully that it moved me. Beautiful that she's in that silence speaking to God and then she's waiting for God's response back in her home, in her own heart, in her own life. Even in the midst of six kids, she was able to do this. You know, and this is how important. You heard the joy in Julia's voice. Not her kids are old. There's another joy there because, you know, and I get that because my twins are, the youngest are 21 now. So I get that. But and even today she says she still has that beautiful divine intimacy with the Lord. So thank you so much, Julia, calling from my neighbor state, just north of us here in Washington. And this is what we're talking about today, the sound of silence. How do you embrace silence in your life? In the business of everything going on in your life, we have to have time to come away by ourselves to listen to God speaking to us. What does that look like for you? How do you do that in the business of your everyday life and experience? We want to hear from you today. That's what we're talking about on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. My brother Deacon Bill is calling from Mobile, Alabama, one of the best places actually where I had seafood, calling on Archangel Radio. Deacon Bill, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. I appreciate your ministry. You're really very inspirational. Yeah, I was telling your screener that, you know, I go to 6:15 Mass. You know, I'm a deacon at the altar there, and I don't always settle down like I should for the day in the morning. And by the time I get to work, I work downtown at Archdiocese. I'm the first one there, and so I take a few minutes every morning to read prayerfully books. Like I just finished, you're talking about silence, Cardinal Seurat's book on silence, which is awesome.
Yes.
I'm now going through Cardinal Pell's journals when he was in prison. Mm. And so I kind of read some of that, and then I pray for the people who I'm going to be influencing their lives through decisions we make downtown at the Archdiocese, and try to start some quiet prayers, also with a prayer of humility, and then just a prayer for God to give me the ability to serve him well that day. All this in quietness and silence as I prepare for my day.
Oh, thank you, Deacon. Well, what a beautiful witness. You know, you mentioned Cardinal Sarah's book, and I was going to talk about that. And I'm so glad you got a chance to read that. For those of you out there, I'm sure this is available at EW10 Religious Catalog. Do yourself a great grace and a great favor, like my brother Deacon Bill, and pick up this book and read it. It's called The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. Okay? The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise by Cardinal Robert Sarah. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And what I love about the book, it's very Carthusian in its approach to embracing silence. So I'm sure many people have heard of the Benedictines, and you heard of the Franciscans, you heard of Dominicans, but there's a group of monks that are hermits that live in community called the Carthusians. They follow the rule of St. Bruno. And there's a beautiful movie called Into Great Silence. It's one of the few movies that I actually own. It's called Into Great Silence. It looks at their life, which is basically a life lived almost entirely in silence. It is a beautiful movie. And Deacon Bill, taking that time, you see what Deacon Bill did? Very different than what we just heard, how Deacon Bill, when he gets to work, he recognizes this is time for quiet and silence, and he does some spiritual reading. You know, beautiful, beautiful. Again, he doesn't listen to the radio. He could catch up on the news. He could turn on the computer, start looking at the internet and all this kind of stuff. But instead, he takes that. He recognizes, first of all, recognizes that, okay, I have an opportunity here, and to embrace that opportunity by picking up some spiritual reading that moves him into deeper intimacy with the Lord, right? What a beautiful way to embrace that side. And Deacon Bill, what book do you say you're reading now?
I'm reading Cardinal Pell's. He's got three.
Oh, that's right.
Large paperbacks on his time in his prison. You know, when he's unjustly put in prison for a while, and it's a short, like 2 or 3 pages per day. It's a good little break up there, and he's very personable. He's funny. But it also has some great spiritual tidbits as well, Deacon.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, because someone just sent me those, and I haven't had a chance. I'm looking right now. I have a stack of books on my this room is full of books, but as a stack of book on my chairs, like to read, and those Cardinal Pell's books are in there. So I want to use that for spiritual reading. Thank you so much, Deacon Bill, for sharing how you embrace the sound of silence in your busy life and in amidst your business of your ministry as a deacon. And thank you. Thank you for saying yes and embracing God's call and your vocation to serve the church as a deacon. Well, we're talking about the sound of silence today on Beacon of Truth. How do you embrace silence in your life every day? Those spaces, those pockets of not emptiness, but silence, where you enter into that space of silence, and it's in that place, maybe it's adoration, where you listen to God's voice speaking to you. Again, maybe you're a busy wife at home, or you're on your way to work in your car. Where do you find the time to embrace silence? What does that look like for you? And how does God speak to you? Maybe you found your vocation in silence. You know, maybe you want to share what God has said to you in those spaces of silence. That's where we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. The phone number to call to be with us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. In the Second Vatican Council document on the Mass, it's called Sacra Sanctum Concilium. It says, you know, there's a famous line in there where it talks about full, conscious, and active participation of the laity as one of the goals of the reform. Okay, it says in paragraph 14, faithful should be led to that full, conscious, and active participation in liturgical celebrations, which is demanded by the very nature of the liturgy, and this aim is to be considered before all else. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. So it says full, conscious, and active participation. So there's a couple of different words for active in Latin. One of them is activa. That's where we get the word active from. And the other word is actuosa. That's where we get the word actualization from. So the word that's used here in the Latin, if you look at the Second Vatican Council documents in Latin, is actuositatem, when it says active participation. So activa means literally active. Like if you're in a band, let's take it because Ace and I talk about music a lot. Let's say you're in a band. You're the one playing an instrument in the band. You are actively participating, okay? Actuosa participation means that you are participating, but you're listening to the music. Now, even though you're not actively playing one of the instruments, you can still be moved deeply by the music that you're hearing, right? And in that listening and that receiving, you are participating, right? And so that's the word that's used. So it doesn't mean like everybody has to read, everybody has to do something at Mass. That's not what it means at all. Actuosa is a deeper, richer, inner participation in what's happening in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
Well, and we've all experienced watching in a concert or a worship setting where, you know, the musicians and the singers are really engaging in that because they connect to the song. They're, you know, in the pocket, if you want to use that as, you know, musicians use that,
yep.
You know, and there is some serious, like, yeah, you guys are really in the pocket. Like there's the highest form of compliment from a musician. So when you're in that pocket and right where you need to be, the cool part about it, it's not just that you're in sync with the song. It's that you're in sync with, this is my role as a drummer, as a bassist, as a guitarist, but collectively, as the body of Christ, right? As the body of the band, you are making amazing music together because you're working together in staying in your lane. Like I wouldn't go over to the bass player when it's my drummer night and go, hey man, why don't you play the G instead of the D?
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. Look at me like, why don't you just go over there and hush up, you know? So
yeah, it's all about being in harmony, right? So that's the thing with the music, it's all in harmony. And so when we embrace that silence, it's a harmony with God's will. It's a harmony with God's heart.
Amen.
If you use a human expression there, in the harmony with God's heart. And there's a beautiful quote here from Guy Auray, his book called The Mass. He goes, the word needs to be listened to attentively and heard in mind and heart with a hearing that is eminently receptive. The sacrifice, about the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the sacrifice itself requires a more inward participation, one that is less visible and is none other than the interior sacrifice. Nailed it. That's exactly right. So we're talking about embracing silence, the sound of silence. What does silence look like in your life? How do you connect with God in the midst of the business of your day by carving some time in your day for silence so you can listen to God's voice speaking to you. How do you do that? What does that look like for you? What does God say to you? How have maybe you found your vocation, your calling in life through that silence? 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You listen to Deacon Harold Brooks series on Beacon of Truth. And Anthony is calling from Ontario. Now, I'm not sure if that's Ontario, California or Ontario, Canada. Listening on Sirius XM 130.
Ontario, Canada, Deacon Harold.
Oh, yes, international. Awesome.
The first thing I want to say is that you did speak at our Men of Faith conference quite a few years ago. Hang on a sec. I'm just going through a red light.
Oh, don't do that.
I did it legally. I was in the middle of the... I'm just going to pull over. You spoke at our Men of Faith conference in London, Ontario, Canada, a number of years ago.
Was that when the Cardinal was there?
I think
he said,
remember.
Did he say Matt? I think Matt, was Matt Frad there as well?
He might have been, but all I can remember is that you were quite brilliant. And we all really enjoyed your presentation. But now, the thing about the silence for me, the way I get silence now, is to engage in Lectio Divina every week.
Yes.
And that is absolutely wonderful. I get the upcoming gospel reading for the week sent to me by the American Catholic Bishops Organization. And I go into my office or den, and it probably takes me about an hour and a half to go through that. But the words just come. They just flow, speaking to Jesus, speaking to God the Father. And I mean, it's only between him and me. I don't share it with anybody else. But I'm just amazed at that, the impact that that has.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, so some of you may be wondering, what does it mean by Lectio Divina? And by the way, Lectio Divina is one of the hallmarks of Benedictine spirituality. Lectio Divina is a prayerful reading of the scriptures, right? This is something that Saint Benedict prescribed very clearly in his rule for monks, that they spend time every day prayerfully reading and discerning the scriptures. All right. In fact, Cardinal Serra, we just talked about his book. He talks about this in his book. And in fact, he says, I'll try to paraphrase here. I think Lectio Divina he compares it to a great river that carries the riches of our faith that have been accumulated over the history of the church and carries that into the reader's heart through God's word. I love that image, you know. So Lectio Divina, I love that Anthony, that beautiful, prayerful reading of scripture where we enter God's word in a particularly beautiful way and allow that word to speak to my life. You know, it's like soaking in God's word, meditating on God's word, entering into that space where the word, again, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, but that word is still alive and that word is speaking to my life and my heart and my situation and my needs. You know, and so I love, Anthony, that you've embraced that. And thank you so much for your call, Anthony. In Toronto, in Ontario, Canada, you know, our neighbors up north, we're talking about the sound of silence on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers. How do you embrace silence? What does that look like for you? That's what we're talking about today. And we have Jim calling from Cottonwood, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Now, I'm trying to remember Cottonwood. Is that where that amusement park is, or am I thinking of someplace else?
Where what is?
The amusement park that's just north of Coeur d'Alene.
No. That's up west, way up north. We're 3 hours south of Coeur d'Alene. We're in the middle of nowhere. For fun, we chase cougars out of the backyard.
Wow, okay. All right, Jim, what do you have to share with us today?
You know, about 17 years ago, I was listening to a CD by Matthew Kelly. He talked about silence and finding a Jesus chair and just spent 5 minutes a day there. Today, I spent 45 minutes a day there. And through that process, I really started studying the Bible, and it led me that for the last 8 years, I've actually taught confirmation class to our young students here in our community. And I've been a politician also, but I've had more of an effect in working with these young students than I ever did doing anything politically in my life. And getting a fist pump is way more exciting from a kid than anything I ever did in politics. And that silence that I took the time and took that advice to sit in that chair led me to that moment.
Awesome, Jim. What a great way to end the show with an awesome call from Jim about embracing silence. Well, tomorrow we're going to look at the option for the poor and the vulnerable. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we are together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.